You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 954. In this show, we're going to be discussing Gutenberg, the bad, the good, the ugly, at the beginning of 2025. We've got a great special guest. We've got Brian Garner, the new head of community at WP Engine. If you're in the WordPress community, the professional community, you will know Brian. Brian has almost, I think, over 20 years experience in building products, in successful products in the WordPress space, and is a well-known designer. We're going to be discussing UX, usability, Gutenberg. It should be a great show. So, Brian, can you just give us a quick intro, like 10, 15 seconds intro, and then we'll go after the break, we'll go into a bit more of your experience and background.
Absolutely. I am Brian Gardner. I am head of community at WP Engine. I was the founder of Studio Press and co-creator of the Genesis framework. I've been doing WordPress not quite 20, but 19 years. So
yeah, fair time. And I've got my great co-host, my patient co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Kurt Von Annen. I own Manana Nomas. We focus largely on membership and learning websites. We also work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like I say, before we're going to be looking in detail of around Gutenberg, where it is in the first quarter of 2025. I'm going to be putting some questions to Brian and be trying to get a real deep understanding where it is. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. Also, I want to point out that we've got a great list of fantastic plugins and special offers from the major sponsors. The list is of the best plugin services. It will save you a ton of time, the WordPress professional. You can find all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. I've made a career of disappointment. So, Brian, thanks for coming on the show. I've been really looking forward to this discussion. So maybe you can give us a bit more detail. How did you get into the world of design and especially into the world of WordPress?
It's actually an interesting question because prior to like maybe a year or so ago, I used to group design and WordPress sort of into the same thing. For whatever reason, like I just sort of assimilated them together as if they were one because of just curiosities and things like that. I feel like I'm now starting to in my head sort of split myself off as a WordPress person as well as a designer, not a WordPress designer, but like two different things. So WordPress is easy. That story I've told hundreds of times. Back in 2006, I was blogging at an architectural firm, and I just started playing around with WordPress, taught myself CSS and HTML, which effectively meant I could customize a theme. started selling or giving away free themes, then doing sort of freelance work with those themes, started selling themes, sold a lot of themes, and then quit my job. Obviously, there's some highs and lows to all of those stories and specifics, whatnot, but that's like the high level. And so from that point, I created Studio Press. We launched the Genesis framework, merged it with CopyBlogger, and then sold to WP Engine, I think 6 or 7 years ago now. Mm. I can't believe it's been that long, but yeah. But here we are.
Oh, that's fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, Brian, this is the first time I've met you, so great to actually meet you. We started in WordPress about the same time. I started in 2004. I noticed on X, because I follow a lot of folks on X. I really like the
Twitter.
It's always Twitter.
So, I see a lot of positive posts and things that you post about Gutenberg and the things that you guys work with. And you know, as I was paying attention to CloudFest and all those things, right? So obviously you're a real supporter of or a fan of like Gutenberg, but what do you see as like its biggest strengths? And then on the other side, what are like the weaknesses that are kind of pulling it down?
Well, that's a question that'll take us to the rest of the hour. When the vision was cast, back in 5.0, 6, 7 years ago, however long it's been, I was a little bit skeptical on where it was going. I was a little unsure, and we were competing with Wix and Squarespace back in that day, and that is one of the reasons why we sold Studio Press to WP Engine. And it's funny to say it that way now because I'm now at WP Engine. So every once in a while, I'll say when we sold to me or when me sold to we, sort of a thing. I just wasn't sure. Shortly after, it shipped in its first iteration, I realized that a lot of what the promise of Gutenberg was effectively replacing Genesis and what we had envisioned Genesis and the child theme system to do, which is have a core set of code that you can opinionate. And this is where we bring back into the design conversation, the ability to like customize the way things look on the front end. And of course, before Gutenberg and the block editor, we had to do that through the theming system. And so I was fully okay with that. I understood how it all worked and loved all of that. I mean, Genesis had a great run. But when I saw WordPress itself doing it, I was like, wow, it sort of removed like a layer of abstraction between like how to do a thing and how you need to do code and sort of compile all of that. And so when I saw where things were going, I was like, wow, this is actually really cool, because what this allows you to do is just use a singular theme to then opinionate the design. And so, obviously there's a lot of stuff at play here. There's things like templates and theme JSON and a lot of things that are sort of new to how historically WordPress developers have created things. But when you understand how it works, and yes, there are people who will nitpick the fact that there's not this control or that setting and whatnot. We can get to that later. But generally speaking, for WordPress now compared to WordPress 5, 10, 15 years ago, the ability for someone to go into WordPress and create an experience, I think, is so much better. Again, there's some ups and downs and some things I still don't love, but generally speaking, I'm a fan.
I always liken it to, I almost think of the show Hoarders. You know, if you've ever seen the show Hoarders, someone buys a brand new house and go, oh, it's a brand new house. And they never think this will be a perfect house when I fill it with a dumpster full of stuff and die in it. Right. Mm-hmm. But that happens over time. And as human beings, we forget how we've progressed. So in the opposite direction, I can think back to how confused I was when Gutenberg first came out, and I was struggling as a freelancer to figure out, do I stick with classic editor? Do I try this new Gutenberg thing? And I looked at where we're at now, and now it's like install WordPress, put in theme, load template, change headings, change a couple pictures. Hey, here's your starter website. So I think we've come leaps and bounds, but to your point, there's a lot of users, especially power users, that are like, there's so many things that aren't where they should be after 7 years. So yeah, it's a tough. What do you think is the biggest weakness? I don't know. We really isolated a weakness. If we had to say, is it full site editing, or is it?
I'm also, because I understand where most things are and how it all works. Like, I don't mind. So let's start with this. sort of divide the fact that there is the block-based system that exists just within like the regular post and page editor that can exist on its own, right? I think hybrid themes are an example of how to like build and construct a page with blocks. Separate from that is the whole site editor thing, which is where basically the full site editing comes in. That's a more complicated thing because then you're talking about templates and, you know, template parts and patterns and things like that. So I think there's two different things there. You know, I think it's easy for people to understand, oh, I can build with blocks. That's one thing. But like to like then use the site editor to then build their site and change the way the entire site looks, that's a different thing. I think the latter is the part where most people get hung up on. They don't understand how things work or how things control, you know, sort of how it cascades throughout their entire thing. I think its biggest weakness is that fact that right now we sit in between both worlds. I love where the new site editor admin interface has gone. I love prototypes that we've seen. Even back in the day, Saxon Fletcher created a whole bunch of things. Some assets. I'm like, wow, this really looks like a new modernized version of WordPress. The problem is we're halfway there. Like there's part of that experience and then there's like the traditional WP admin. And that's where people feel like they're bouncing between two worlds. And there's little steps taken. Now there's like a show template thing that's coming in WordPress 6.0. So when you go edit a page, you'll actually see your header and footer and the way it visually looks on the front end. So we're getting there, but I think that's where a lot of people are confused when they're like, well, how do I create a page and how do I edit my template and things like that? That's the part I don't love. I can navigate it because, like I said, I spend most of my day sort of working through that, but that's the part I think I would just love to see move faster.
Nice. Jonathan?
Yeah, Brian, I've got mixed feelings because you talk to certain people in the WordPress professional community and you mention Gutenberg to them and their face just drops and they normally use a certain swear word when it comes around using Gutenberg. And then you have a certain crowd that seem to just love the whole thing. I'm in the middle. You got the argument, the development argument around the decision to use React and use a JavaScript library. I don't propose that we go into that particular argument because I think it would be a waste of your experience to some degree. And then you've got the argument about the extended period of time this whole process has taken, right? But I think, personally myself, I think when it comes to UX and usability design, I think what we have ended up at the beginning of 2025 with Gutenberg isn't a terrible interface, but it isn't a great interface, to be truthful about it. And some people in the WordPress professional community have said this has been caused by it trying to satisfy two completely different camps, i.e. the DIY user that might use Squarespace and Wix, and the professional WordPress user, the freelancer, the designer, the graphic designer, the agency requirements. And because you've got two really diverse buckets, that's why you have ended up. So I like your response to that third point. And also, because of your experience, I thought you were the right person to have this discussion with. And I gave a list because I know you're going to be surprised, Brian, but over 30 years ago, I did an MA in interactive design at the London School of Print and Design. And these principles were kind of imprinted into my psyche 2 years of indoctrination. And I think we maybe should go through some of these principles because I personally believe that's why we've ended up with an interface that isn't terrible, but could be a lot, lot better.
So I'm going to actually back us up here, because this is something, it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine, and I think a lot of people use the word Gutenberg differently. So let's, I want to clarify first that, because I think, as we all know, Kurt, you in particular, because you've been around, as well, we've all been around, Gutenberg is no longer the editor, right? Gutenberg is now the experimental plugin that is used to bring new features into, which is now WordPress, right? So we're really talking about the WordPress block editor, the WordPress site editor. A lot of people, and I think the blame goes to the community for sort of accepting when it first came out, it was called Gutenberg the editor, but then they switched it to a plugin. So I think there's some confusion there. That aside, I will speak to sort of what you said. Yes, I believe the WordPress block and site editors are aimed at a more hobbyist or DIY user base. However, as a person who co-built Genesis and somebody who understands the system of WordPress and the theming and all of that, I also feel that if understood and used properly, and I speak a lot about this to agencies, you know, within our partner program at WP Engine and so on, that if understood and built properly, Web Dev Studio is a great example of a company that has taken a block theme, made it their own, and then used it to its full capacity of power, which is creating a pattern library and using that in a way that expedites their workflow. I am a huge believer in that part of it too. So that being said, I agree that it's for hobbyists, but I also agree that it can be for freelancers, sophisticated agencies. But I also understand that there are some limitations. And that's where I think from like the high end agency perspective, the adoption is low, because it gets to a point where it's like, we just can't do it this way like we used to. We used ACF or, you know, another page builder or whatever. There are some limitations, so I'll admit that. But I also want to cheer for the block and site editors to be used more than just people who are creating a hobby site.
So just as a slight introduction, you wouldn't instinctively agree some well-known influencers in the WordPress professional space have said that Gutenberg, at the present moment, the code it produces and the way it manipulates, that you can't use classes and other modern CSS development elements, it's really quite substandard. You would not agree with that. Would that be fair?
I would. And I know who you're talking about, and we actually were on the same show a while ago, and I just spoke to him like literally 3 days ago to understand what he's building. I think it's easy to say it's not doing this and that and whatever, but I also think the capabilities exist to do the things that people claim it can't do. It won't do everything. That kind of like, feel like I'm talking in covert words here, but I think... Yes. Well, it's not Tailwind CSS, right? That's not what WordPress and the block editor is meant to be. It's not that kind of a system. But you have the ability to use classes in a way creatively that I think accomplish more than people give it credit for.
Yeah, because, you know, I think two of the third-party platforms that build on Gutenberg that I think do a good job is Cadence WP and GeneratePress. Mm-hmm. I think especially if you're in the custom build theme design element, I think you can do a pretty good job with GeneratePress. I think Cadence WP have done a good job in the kind of lower medium market space where you're taking a theme and you're adapting it. But I think with GeneratePress, I think those two are doing our own at WP Tonic. We push Cadence because it can cater for a very broad stream of different types of users that we're catering for, Brian. Let's move on to the UX. See, when I, most of the projects that I'm looking at have been either they're still using the classic editor or they're using Cadence WP. And when if I'm not actively developing something for my own use, and I go into Cadence after a couple of months, I'm a little bit lost. But as soon as I start using it, I can get up to speed. But I don't think Gutenberg in UX terms is a great interface. And let's start with user centricity. That concept might be linked to it trying to be usable for the DIY and also the professional market. So in the end, it's not totally user-friendly for either group. Is that making any sense, Brian?
It does. And I push back as much as I can. I have, even back to the Genesis days, we've always been purist WordPress people, right? I understand that businesses are built on, you know, proprietary interfaces and doing things that are basically hard to then undo because they think that's the value that they bring to it. And what it does is, and it's great because those existed before Gutenberg was introduced. The Block Insight editors have evolved. And so now what you have is you basically have systems that are proprietary interfaces that take over WordPress's interface, which I think actually isn't all that bad. The problem is, I think now that sort of WordPress has its own version of, you know, blocks and settings and controls, and the general sentiment is, oh, there's not a responsiveness for block, like, you know, you hear that kind of an argument. And so you've got people who are like, oh, well, let's make media query breakpoints for every possible block under the sun. And I'm like, you know, like for a heading, you don't need to have an interface that shows you 8 different breakpoints, you know, and to use the argument of, well, we provide this because WordPress doesn't is horrible, because WordPress has baked into it responsive typography, fluid typography, which means you actually don't need to have all of these controls, which take up an enormous amount of screen real estate. And so I'm not saying it's perfect, but I also think, you know, a lot of these page builders have historically, you know, oversettinged, if that's even a word, you know, oh, you could do this, this, and this with every possible thing. I'm like, well, how is that helpful to somebody who doesn't even understand what a media query is? You know, so there's that. That's a little bit of a soapbox that I stand on, but.
As somebody that's built interfaces, that to the, you know, when it comes to the basic principles of consistency, hierarchy, context, user control, accessibility, and usability, I just think there's something missing. It's not terrible, as I said at the beginning of this conversation, but it's just not a great interface. But I haven't got your experience, and it's been a long, over 30 years ago when I did my MA. So I give it, like, if you were going from 0 to 10, I'd give it a 5, maybe a 6. Is it just really extremely difficult to build an exceptional UX interface? Yeah. Is that just the reality? Is it an extremely difficult thing to do?
I think it's extremely difficult to do when you're straddling between two different interfaces themselves. Like I talked about earlier, you've got like the traditional WP admin, and then you've got like this new site editor interface. And so you've got two different things. You know, I think things become different. Like if you could like fast forward or envision like a full site editor experience as part of like, this is now how WordPress works altogether, I think all of a sudden you're like, okay, things are now into place. But what feels sometimes disjointed. I'm like, well, if I'm in the site editor, this is how I change a thing. But if I'm in the page editor, there's a different way to change the thing. That's where I think people start getting tripped up. I mean, I would love to know, Jonathan, from you or whomever, when people say, oh, it sucks because it doesn't do this. Like, what exactly are you actually wanting it to do? Where does it fall short? Do you really get annoyed by the fact that there's three little dots that, you know, are required to like enable a setting? And those are the same people who say, well, there's too many settings. Well, that's why they're kind of buried, you know, within layers. And again, work in progress. And I wish it was going way faster. Trust me, I'll be the first person that says, I wish this was 5 years ago, because we're already behind, Framer, Webflow. I mean, there's newer things, newer existential threats than Wix and Squarespace. And so, and those are way more no code and arguably better interfaces. I don't know, but I agree with you. I don't think it's a 10. I don't think it's a 9 or an 8. I think we're between a 5 and 7, depending on what day it is.
No, but that's why I wanted to ask you, because you got a lot more experience. You got a lot more knowledge than me. It's all right. It's all right to have an opinion. Everybody's got a right to an opinion. Well, I'll say that. It might sound extreme, their opinions are, doesn't it? But everybody normally has a right to opinion, but not, you got to have an opinion to get other people to agree to it. You got to have some experience and have some facts, haven't you?
Yep.
I think that. Is it also linked, based on your experience, the people, is it also linked that it's a quasi open source project? You know, when you have developers working with UX designers, interface designers, is there anything to the argument you're not going to end up? I don't believe this. I'm just putting it as a devil's advocate to you. I don't believe what I'm putting to you, but some people would say that because it's open source, you will inevitably end up with a middling UX interface. I don't believe that myself, but what do you think?
I think it's less about that and more about when you have anything that powers 40% of the internet, you're going to have opinions that differ. I mean, 40% of the internet is a lot of people. That's a food blogger all the way to NASA. Like, there's always going to be people who say it's not doing this right or not doing that right. I don't think it has much to do with whether it's open source or closed source. Like, even if, you know, Webflow or Shopify powers that much, you're still going to have people who say this doesn't do this for me properly or the way in which I want it to be. I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah. Well, I think we've had a good discussion for the first half. We're going for our break, folks. We will be back in a few moments.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Just want to point out, if you're looking for a great partner, great hosting partner, and you're building a membership or community website, why don't you look at what WP Tonic's got to offer? We offer the best technology, the best plugin suite as part of our hosting packages. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com /partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. Over to you, Kurt.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan.
Before I ask this particular question, I kind of want to just say that I think I'm in the same ballpark as you on this, Brian. And it's, you know, with the e-learning stuff that we do, I mean, I've tried Podia, Kajabi, Moodle most recently, just to see, hey, has something changed? Has it gotten better? Has it, you know, is WordPress still the choice to use? You know, and I've looked at Fluent Community and Buddy Boss and all these things. So we have all these things. And obviously I'm a Lifter LMS expert, so I primarily work in Lifter. So I keep trying these things. I just tried Drupal 2 weeks ago. I came right back to WordPress. So I'm incredibly bullish that we have 43% of the internet. It seems to be the right choice. And it seems like even with the activities of the last couple of years, it seems like it's still super stable. So if you agree with that, what do you think would be like the biggest opportunities for WordPress as a whole, but also like the professional community that tries to work or make a living at WordPress?
Wow, that's a
big question.
That's a big question.
Well, I thought you were up to the difficult questions, Brian. You know,
yeah, like the future of WordPress is just a question that's just hard to answer. In the sense of, you know, again, like for Kurt, we've been 20 years, two decades of our life have been hitched on this software, this ecosystem, this community. And so it would take like almost an act of God to change that, at least from my perspective. That doesn't mean I'm not interested in looking into other things, mainly to see how they work, also to see if I'm missing something, right? I don't want to be naive and be like, well, WordPress is the way no matter what, and then realize there's a better, you know, experience or software to do a certain thing. But I will always defend WordPress first, always. That being said, I think it's a weird time right now from a product perspective. I can speak to that because I have a small WordPress product that I sell. It's a WordPress theme called Powder. I think there's a lot of people still that sit in the middle and a lot of people who are still at the early side of adoption. And so I guess my biggest struggle in this as it relates to the future is, and Mike McAllister is doing a great job, Kevin Geary starting to do a great job sort of in the educational side of this new thing that we're working with. That is, I think, the biggest disc. It's very easy to build a product, and it's very difficult and time consuming. And to be perfectly honest, not fun to educate people how to do a thing, unless you're using that as your marketing, which I failed to do well. I think a lot of people understand its power. I have a handful of people who like really see the vision, really understand how it works. The mass, though, is slow to adopt and uninterested. And so called the Paris Hilton effect. The things that like 5 years ago were doing well are still doing well just because they've been the thing that's been around. And, you know, in this new world, scare tactic marketing, which is, oh, don't do this. It's a weird space and it's really hard. I think niching has, especially in WordPress, is always the great way to go. Creating, you know, like Lifter is a good example. I mean, we saw this back when Gravity Forms started back in the day. Hey, we're not going to build a theme company. We're going to double down on a plugin or a functionality piece. I think that's the part that will be its future, or a part of the success of the future. So I don't know. I get frustrated because I'm a design guy. I'm a front end guy. I love interface. I love creating systems that people can use. It's still a very slow and painful process. Much to my chagrin, but that's okay.
To look at it from the other perspective, you know, I see it from the agency side a lot. And what I see is this horribly fractured environment where there's just so many opportunities or challenges to try different things. And when you can hone in on what your tech stack is and niche down, like you mentioned, niching, it seems like there could be success that way. But what I see in my involvement with Post Status and X, and I don't know where my camera went, I'm back. And to those things is I see a real lack of confidence in agency people that run agencies. I'm not seeing confidence. And I think that comes from a lack of process. Like, I don't think there's a ton, to your point, of education
that says, hey, yeah, we make this open source product and we have all these tools and you can build these really cool websites. But I don't think we really have a channel that says, if you want to grow a business that does this for other people, here's some best practices and tools to use.
Yeah. And that's where Kevin Geary has stepped up. And of course, he's got his own things he's marketing and selling, all the way from automatic CSS to Etch. And so he's trying to serve the market of people who are sophisticated website builders, people who take it seriously, people who want to do it right. And so I don't gravitate towards building for those people just because part of me is like with web dev, like they took Powder, forked it, made it their own, then they don't need me anymore. Right. So like there's like sort of a built-in reliance. Now, I will say I'm very open and aware of the needs of agencies because at WP Engine, we have a very deep and profound agency partner program. And so part of my day job is really listening to and addressing concerns of our agency partners and stuff like that. So I'm not uninformed or naive to the needs of these agencies. And to be perfectly honest, there's a part of me that's like in a room full of designers, in a room full of developers, I'm a designer, however that thing goes. I'm generally more of a designer than I am a developer. So it gets to the point where sophisticated agencies come in and like, that's above my pay grade. I don't write in React and JavaScript and stuff like that. And so part of me kind of like just shies away from those conversations because I'm like, you guys are way smarter than me. I can't teach you anything. But what I can teach are hobbyists how to use and build a site with the site editor, block editor. I can teach even people who are sort of blooming freelancers and say, hey, you could take this in the same way you took Genesis back in the day and say, hey, you could build a business around WordPress and your own theme. Let me teach you how to create your own theme so that you can then use to build sites first, you know. And so that's like the areas which I serve. And so that's the part I think I'm most bullish about because I realize the power all of this can have and the system that can be built for a freelancer, an agency, a small studio. It's just frustrating because I don't love to teach all that. And so I keep creating things into this void of people who are like, great, but how does it work?
Perfect. Jonathan?
Yeah. Have you got any thoughts why full site editing hasn't got the traction that people think when you look at the adaptation of full site editing themes and the people that are really pushing those themes? I think it would be fair to say that it's been a bit disappointing. Would you agree with that statement, first of all? And have you got any insights about why that we see this situation at the beginning of 2025?
I think that's an understatement. I think I'm severely disappointed. I think generally speaking, we're all severely disappointed in the adoption. I think WordPress to a fault has always been backward compatible. And so it's easy to say, I'm not going to learn the new thing. I hear it's not ready yet. Like I've been hearing that for years, even though it's 90, 95% of the way there and arguably further ahead than it ever was. I think there are, like I said earlier, there are WordPress-based businesses, page builders, and so on, who make it easy for people to not adopt it. One, because they have the 5 to 10 year to 15 year, 10 year Beaver Builder, Cadence, GeneratePress. I mean, all of these things that have been around, people know how they are used. I don't love that they're proprietarily interfaced, but that's a different conversation. But I understand why. Like, I get the reasoning behind the slow adoption, right? The community says it's not ready and these are so easy. And I mean, so many people still use, I mean, millions of people still use advanced custom fields. And so that in and of itself is a reason why the adoption of the block editor is slower than I think people want. And I'm not advocating against advanced custom fields. I'm just saying that there are people who die on that hill, agencies who die on, this is the only way I'll ever build with WordPress. And that's fantastic. I'm a firm believer that I used to think there was a right way to WordPress. In my head, I'm like, my way is the right way. And then I realized that's just rubbish, for lack of a better term. The right way to WordPress is whatever is the easiest way for you to use WordPress or build with it.
Well, that's why I like discussing things with you, because that's my attitude as well. But there are certain people that you get the impression there's my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. And I push against it because that is not my experience. There, some of the disappointment of, I think you've outlined it really well, but do you think it's also linked to some of the factors that we discussed in the first half of this interview about, because if it was really a 7, 8, or 9 interface UX experience, I think it's a duct tape, it's speed of adoption, and especially people producing new themes, new, you know, whatever you want to call them, starter themes, starter websites, whatever language you want to use would be, because that's a problem in itself. There's such a diverse expression of what used to be clearly a theme. It's now, there's 1,000 different terms, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
But would that adaptation be a lot quicker based on some of the things, or do you think that it's important, but it's not a main driver?
Trying to go back to where you started with the question.
You're not the only guest that has had that problem, Brian.
It's like you asked 3 different questions in the same question. I was trying to like figure out which one to hit.
Yeah. I apologize, Brian, but I do that all the time.
It's hard for me to answer these types of questions because while I think for everyone, like I mentioned, we're at a 5 to 7 out of 10, right? In my head, we're actually at an 8 or 9. From my experience, like it's further ahead than I think people, it is for other people, just again, because I'm so versed in it. And apparently James in the comments, sorry, distracted. Sorry, speechless. In a good way. What was your? Let's go back to the first part of your question, because that was the one I wanted to answer. My apologies.
No, it's don't. I know. I thought this might happen. I think the UX, it just isn't easy building a really good UX interface when you, especially if you are dominant in a particular market sector and you're dealing with legacy code and legacy users' attitudes. It's not, but I do think there's also, and I think you touched upon this in the first half, there has been consequences that you've been talking about a process that's taken over 6 years. And I think there's been consequences that can be understandable. I'm not saying, oh, that's a disaster. You know, there might have been really good reasons why that, but there have been consequences. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think this speaks to where my bigger concern lies. Like, I spend significant amount of time throughout my day and week and night and runs and showers thinking about all of this because it's been so much of my DNA.
I haven't, Brian.
I admit, I love it probably more than I should. We've spoken a lot about, like, the adoption of, you know, the site editor, block editor, and all of these things within the WordPress space. My bigger fear about, like, sort of the speed in which this is getting to us, because I see the potential. I've always seen the potential. And I'm less concerned about whether or not somebody who's still building with ACF will work their way towards this. I'm more concerned with people who don't understand it and then go look at other platforms. We don't need to convince the people who are on ACF to continue to use WordPress and to figure out the block editor and so on. I'm more concerned with the people who are, for whatever reason, saying, this is not for me. I'm going to start building sites in Webflow or Framer or whatever. That's where I sort of, I have those moments where I'm like, I just wish this would just be like the vision that I could see, you know, the consolidation of the WP admin site, of like, we could just get there quicker. That will stop sort of the hemorrhaging of people who are just leaving WordPress altogether. That is my bigger concern because I believe in its future. I see it. A lot of people don't. And that's where, you know, part of my job at WP Engine is to inform people how, you know, WordPress is evolving and why it's still important and stuff like that. But I also just don't love seeing people leaving altogether. And that's the bigger concern I see is, you know, and of course, 5 years ago, that was like less of a worry because there just weren't competing platforms. You know, AI is part of a conversation that we haven't really talked about even. And so there's so many parts of this that keep me up all day at night. Like, how do I do a thing? And that's why I built Potter. I'm like, this is my way of outside of like on my own terms, creating something that will show people how new WordPress, or we sort of internally joke modern WordPress, can be used. And anyway, sorry. It's a little more ramble there.
Yeah, no, but this argument that there's a group of people that I listen to through their podcasts, through their YouTube channels in the background as I'm struggling to make a decent living in WordPress, right? And it's been quite good to me. So I'll always be very supportive of it. And that's one of the reasons why I still do this podcast, right? But there's a whole batch in the kind of YouTube influencer class that around SEO and encouraging people to do niche blogging to make a living. And because of the changes around AI, and they say, well, you don't really need a website now, and you at best you just need a landing page and this and that and the other. And I just think they're bonkers. I think it's even more important to have a website in 2025 than ever, to have a center and to have that website built on a technology that you have the most possible control over than using a SaaS-based platform. It's even more important. So, but what do you think about that, what I've just outlined?
You know, this goes back to conversations we had when Copyblogger was a thing, right? Back in that day, we were talking about content and digital sharecropping and owning your own content and stuff like that. And it's interesting to see now my former partner, Brian Clark, now using platforms that are closed, walled gardens and whatever, because I think the landscape has changed, right? They used to say content is king and all, and I still think that's true. The content we produce and where we produce it is different nowadays than, you know, back in the day. I still believe everyone should have a website. Back in the day, we would write blog posts to get Google traffic to your website to then get email signups and so on. But now, and I'm a huge advocate, like leveraging social media to bring people to your website to then capture information that you can own and control is definitely the way to go. I think there are people who use social media as their website. In fact, several years ago, I started this little thing called Agent Engine, and I was going to try to go into the real estate market. And I talked to so many people who would say, I don't need a website, I have Facebook. And I was like, well, that's a problem. Because if that's your sole property, that's a problem. I'm a huge advocate of using and leveraging the, and I think that's now, you know, with the Google AI, you know, like the AI overviews and like things like that, search traffic is for everybody has gone down. And so you need to do things like, and sometimes they're louder than I want them to be, but people even in the WordPress space who are successfully leveraging YouTube and live streaming and social media to drive people to their product or their signups, they will crush it. People like Kevin Geary, Mark Szymanski, like Matt Medeiros, like these people who fill our streams are doing it because it's working, right? And so, but they're still bringing people back to a website, right? Kevin still has edgewp.com where he's using YouTube to bring people to that place where then he can capture their email address, get them on a list and so on. I think what we do with websites have changed. I love authenticity and I love to write, but I don't think people want the same type of content that was produced 5 or 10 years ago. People don't need to hear about my bad day and why it inspired a design I did. Like there's just the audience is less there.
It's a difficult one because it's changed, hasn't it? I totally agree with you, but the idea, but it's so clear that you need to keep as much control as possible, because you just become a commodity of other people's platforms. But it's hard to describe. I think you did a good job. Over to you, Kurt.
I get the chance to change channels a little bit for you, Brian. And that is, yes. You know, let's talk about WP Engine. You're head of community now. What's the major thing you'd like to achieve with that position and that role? Let's keep it realistic over the next year and a half.
Yeah, my role at WP Engine really hasn't changed since I joined. I mean, really, it was originally to advocate for WordPress. It was the intersection, as I told Heather, our CEO. I'm like, I want to intersect three parts of my life that I love: people, design, and WordPress. Like, if I can have a job that does that, great. And so I first came on as a developer advocate, which made total sense. We brought Frost over into the company to use that as an educational theme so that we could speak the good word of WordPress and to the people who we want to reach. And of course, design played a role. Over the years, my role has sort of evolved. And so recently, earlier this year, I became head of community, which really is doing the same thing, which is just like an organized way of facilitating, you know, the ongoing promotion and sponsorship of people who are doing good work with WordPress. So a lot of my duties now are still continuing to talk to and network. We have a weekly call on Friday called Build Mode, where members of the community come in. We talk about WordPress, the business of WordPress, candidly, how things that are going on affect our businesses and so on. And so the people have always mattered to me, and they always will. And so, you know, when it was presented, like, hey, let's change the title and bring you into a space where you can do that better. You know, we're sponsoring events, we're hosting other things. And so, so looking at the question, Powder is a fork of Frost. Frost is the internal theme that WP Engine owns. And Powder is my personal side project. That is something I do on the side, up at night, on the weekends. It is my way of doing WordPress products. So that is my own personal project.
Right. Thanks for clarifying it. I'm going to throw the next question over to Kirk, because you're going to have to gain the second Kirk, aren't you? You've got enough of
it. I do. I got the other show. But let's say that you had an H.G. Wells, you know, you had a TARDIS of your own, and you could travel back in time to the beginning of your career. If you could do that, what advice would you give yourself?
And you can't say not come on this show.
I've been on this show several times. I can't say that. I honestly don't know. And this is going to sound really, really cheesy, and I admit that, but I am really happy with my path. I'm very happy with the fact that I'm still, and to this day, feel as bullish about WordPress as I did almost 20 years ago. I'm still working from home. I work for a great company. I don't want to be an entrepreneur right now, even though I have a side project. I had that time. It was a great run. I had a great partner team. We had an acquisition. There was a transit. Like, there's no part of my journey that I really wish was different. Because I'm content. I'm very content with my life. I just turned 50. I moved across the country. I'm starting the back half of my life. I don't know. I don't know if I would change much. And it sounds like a cop out. It sounds like a cheesy question, but it's true.
We have the same haircut and the same trends. You're starting to freak me out, Brian. I just moved my family across the country.
Where are you now?
We're in Kansas.
Kansas. Okay. Well, there's no place like home, right?
Oh, Jesus.
My wife is a avid Wizard of Oz fan. In fact, it was part of our wedding theme, so I couldn't resist that one. But yeah, you know, life's good right now. I'm happy.
Well, we're going to end the podcast. Can you stay on for another 10 minutes, or do you have to disappear?
I have a hard stop at the top of the hour, so I've got 6 minutes to...
Oh, well, we call it a day. Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. So we're going to end the podcast show, folks. So, Brian, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, given what we just said, briangardner.com, go to my personal website where I can capture your email address and own the content. Sorry, tongue-in-cheek there. My website is a work in progress. I moved Powder over to it so that I can kind of keep it all in one place. I'm very active on Twitter/X at B Gardner. LinkedIn is a great way to connect with me. Those are sort of right now my two personal business platforms of choice, LinkedIn. And so if you go to brightongardner.com, scroll down to the footer, I've got some social links there. That's probably the best way to connect me because I put those there strategically. So
that's fantastic. And we do appreciate you coming on the show, Brian, and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you for
Kurt. Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Anything Mañana Nomás leads to me. So mañananomás.com for business, Mañana Nomás on X and Facebook and YouTube. And, you know, if you want to connect personally, the best place to do that is LinkedIn, because I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn, and it makes me easy to find.
Yeah, we're going to end the show now, folks. We'll see you next week with another great guest. So it's probably our roundtable show. We've got a great panel. We'll be discussing the WordPress news and tech news of the month. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.